Well, we welcome our next guest, his monthly appearance, all the great work he does as the president and CEO of the great H2M, ladies and gentlemen, H2M Architects and Engineers Company. It's been around over 90 years, including over 10 office locations in and around the tri-state. Mr. Richard Heumann, getting it done as their great leader, and joins us here on this final Monday of April. And a very good morning to you, sir.
Jay, very good morning to you. Sun is out. We're in the 70s already. Isn't that nice? Hopefully you had a good weekend.
Unbelievable. 80 degrees, my goodness. Yeah, no, the weekend was great. It's tough because when the Islanders were on at a 2 o'clock puck drop on a Saturday, I've got to make all kinds of excuses here to make sure I watch that game. I'll tell you something funny. So I'm watching the Islander game, right? They come back. They tie it up. I'm still, delaying things that we got to do around here. I watch the overtime praying that the Islanders get a goal. Of course, they did not. I had to leave the house. I had to leave the house. So we get in the car. I put on LI News Radio. Of course, we carry the Islander game. And the game is going into the second overtime. And I get the call comes through in the car. And my wife's driving. And I say, don't answer it. Please, I'm giving her the sign. Don't answer the phone. Because I want to hear Chris King, with the Islanders. Yeah. So she hits the call. It's a friend of mine from New York. Couldn't get him off the phone. And I'll tell you, after the call was done, King gets on and basically sums up the Islander game with a win. So I missed the call and everything else. The Islanders won the game. But what are you going to do? It happens. Yeah. But that was my weekend, my friend. It was great. If you're into the sports, great sports, we're the Knicks, Yanks, Mets, and everything else. One of those deals. Yeah. Can't complain.
Okay.
And what about you? You had the Mets and everything else going on. Mets are, they're holding their own. They dropped the first five. We talked about it. You were going to come on here. Listen, and with all the injuries to the pitching staff, they're still one up over 500.
Yeah, your weekend is a little tough. They got a consolation win yesterday, but, they started off terribly. So they're coming back, and I think that it's a long season, so they got to find their groove. I think they're still tooling a little bit. Not as much like the Yankees, though. Top of their division. What else would you expect? I think they scored like 30 runs in the last two games. I'm envious a bit, Jay, I will tell you. I wish we could hit the ball like your team can, but I'm going to be interested. Let's put it that way. I'll be interested with the Mets for a while. We'll see how they do.
Yeah, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. You're getting a couple of pitchers back, so that's going to help you guys. We're starting to hit. Judge is back on the track. We play the Orioles. You guys play the Cubbies. Should be a lot of fun over the next couple of days. You guys are always having fun hard at work, I'll tell you. These projects and everything else, very impressive, Rich. I was reading about the Patchogue River sewer area and everything else, the transition, some of these residential areas from septic to sewers, to really mitigate a lot of what's going on, groundwater, oceans. We see all the problems, with some of the groundwater stuff. And a lot of people now being diverted as far as the plan is concerned. Give me a sense of what's going on there.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and I'm glad you brought this one up because, whenever we talk about Patchogue, at least from a broader point of view, it's, the resurgence, the revitalization and the downtown and the life and how great it is. And that was clearly a primary driver for what the village did with their sewer system. But you still have a lot of residences and other properties that are not yet connected. So when Suffolk County years ago made their commitment to deal with water quality, this is still an important element that because Patchogue is you know close to some water bodies, we have to be now conscious about making sure we're not creating any greater impact to water quality. And even though it's not like a big headline kind of project, it's a good project. The mayor and the village is continuing to do the right thing out there to support their community. Great. Everything about Patchogue is great. And this project is just another nice one that we've been able to work on with them.
You know, you look at Patch in general, all the work, right, over the last 10 years, and they got the best mayor going with Paul Panieri, he's still getting it done. And you look at Patchogue, Rich, what a transformation, right, over the last 10 years or so. I mean, listen, I remember when that Main Street was hardly anything. And you look at what's going on now, you know, all the abandonment and everything else just completely transformed, businesses thriving and everything else. I mean, Patchogue right now is a template as far as other areas, you know. It's amazing.
It is. It is. And, you know, he's really exhibited great leadership, great vision. And that's, I think, always a challenge when you're an elected leader. How much vision can you have, because you need to be in your position to follow through on the vision. And he did the heavy lifting, got the community to understand the benefit and the value in the vision that, you know, he and others were developing for the village. And it's, after all these years, you're right, Jay, 100%, it still is a template. And I know more and more communities are looking to commit in a similar way to Patchogue. And it's just going to be better for Long Island as that continues.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be a great thing, no question about it. Let's get into the Hempstead Lake State Park with the Environmental Education and Resiliency Center over there, Rich. You know, kind of a state-of-the-art I was reading about that'll really kind of complement some of the surrounding areas in play, huh?
Yeah, you know, New York State Parks, I think, in, you know, from a broader point of view, the state, especially here on Long Island, has just fantastic parks and recreation facilities that we all get to utilize. In Hempstead Lake State Park, post-Sandy, there was a lot of work happening to deal with resiliency and flooding and things like that. And the state made the decision to, you know, create an educational and resiliency center. And we got the opportunity to design it for the state. And it really is just a fantastic project. And the design itself, the building has resilient elements in it, which I know the team was really excited about. And anytime I think you get architects and engineers to design sustainable buildings, it's a little bit of added incentive to them to really do the best they can. And Parks was a great partner. You know, they had a sense of what they wanted to achieve conceptually, allowed us to work with their ideas and develop a good strategy for them. And it's a beautiful building. It's a very welcoming building. So I'd encourage people who are, you know, out in that area at Hempstead Lake State Park, if they haven't gone in at least to check out and enjoy the building, that they should do that, because it really came out great.
The folks are going to love it, no question. You know, you come in, we just had Angie on with Islands Carpenter, of course, all the work done in and around the great town of Islay with the parks and the splash pads and whatnot. I mean, you know, it's back in the play like this. It is a day's life today, so. Well done there. Let's talk a little bit about clean water, because, you know, water contaminants, Rich, have been a big topic of discussion long time here. We know Bethpage has had their issue with all that's going on there with Grumman and the barrels and everything else there. But you guys have done a wonderful job. I was reading about the AOP, which is Advanced Oxidation Process. First time in Long Island, I was reading. Is that true?
Yeah. So these guys, you know, you talk about the drums, and maybe I'll give you my perspective on the community park. The water district there has been contending with the old Navy Grumman groundwater plume really for 40 years, and it's so unfortunate. And because of that, they're always forced to have to be extremely proactive. So when New York State was considering regulating this new contaminant called 1,4-dioxane, which was pretty prevalent on Long Island and prevalent in a lot of these legacy industrial plumes that we're dealing with in a number of places, you know, more predominantly in Nassau County, just because of the history of industrial property use. But, you know, they started it really a decade ago, 2013, pilot testing different technologies because they knew they had to be in the right kind of position. Otherwise, they'd be forced to shut their facilities down and wouldn't have water to send to their community. Bethpage had invested in a way that really helped the industry set the standard for how to go about dealing with this contaminant. You read a lot, you hear a lot about forever chemicals, PFAS, and you know those are the EPA just put regulations in place with a very discreet drinking water standard that all water suppliers throughout the country has to comply with. So you know more and more the technology is continuing to support the ability for clean drinking water, but you know there's going to get I think here in Long Island, especially because our water bill was always so cheap, you know, going back, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, it was really a silent service. People turned on their tap, they got water, and it was all good, and they didn't pay a lot of money for it. You know, now it's so much more costly to operate these advanced treatment systems that, and I know people are taking notice of that. They're taking notice of the potential health effects of water quality, but they're also taking notice of how much their water costs.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, 16 drums, Rich, and I was always curious when these things were excavated over the last month or so. You know, you wonder if people actually thought long-term ramifications way back in the day, you know, and the harmful effects. I'm just curious to think what would be the mindset there, you know, to do that, and you know, not to face the backlash. I'd have a hard time to think they didn't think about that.
Yeah. You know, I would definitely say there's no way they didn't have an understanding of what the consequences would be. I mean, in particular, these drums that were found at the park were encased in concrete.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? You know, that's something that has to be assessed. But I think in general, you know, there was a cost saving. I think it's that simple. And yeah. with all the industrial activities that were happening at that site and really the, you know, not, at the time, Grumman Aerospace, but their property that ended up getting donated to the town for the park was really the main dumping area for, you know, operations happening on 600 acres. So when you talk to people that were familiar with the operations of Grumman, that was a spot where, you know, trucks would come and, you know, they would obviously dump drums and they would dump used rags and then other waste would find its way to that property. And I think the biggest frustration from the community's point of view is that the park was closed 22 years ago. And you know, now you just discover drums after so much time and so much investigating. It really knocks people back because the feeling was there was some progress. And at some point, after all this time, they'd be able to clean up the park and restore it and give it back to the community. And it as somebody, and you know, I've in my job here, I've been familiar with and working on behalf of the water suppliers dealing with that plume. So I've been personally involved for probably 30 years, and it's hard for me to accept the current status because we have been fighting and just don't feel as though things are progressing to anybody's satisfaction.
Yeah, no question. No question about it. But, you know, listen, the discovery is made and hopefully the reparations will be in play here. But I think, as you say, a strong assessment and a lot of inquiry needs to be done without question here. So we'll keep an eye on that. Rich Heumann with us, H2M Architects and Engineers. I want to get to a little bit of the community company engagement type deals. I always love talking about that with you. Then we'll go around the horn as we always do. We'll take after a short break. But trade shows coming up. You know, this time of the year, we get into May. Always one of my favorites regarding how HIA conducts itself. You know it as well as anyone. Rich, the great Hopfog Industrial Association trade show coming up over at the Suffolk County Community College. You guys are going to have a booth there. We will be there in some sort of way.
Great.
We always look forward to having that and talking with you there. But you guys are going to be in prime form there, huh?
Yeah. It's what's really nice about it, too, is we get a lot of our staff attend, our marketing folks attend, our technical folks attend, and you know, HIA has been getting, I don't know, 500 companies to participate, and you know, they're, it's from a networking perspective, from understanding where technology is going, just seeing all the great work and things that are being developed by companies within the park is a really nice opportunity, and we're obviously proud supporters of HIA, and this year in particular, we're going to be hosting a really great panel at the event, and I'd encourage people to come because you know, we've got the key players that worked on the transformation of the old Sears building at Smith Haven Mall for Stony Brook University Medicine to create, you know, really an advanced healthcare facility. If anybody is in the area and hasn't seen it yet, they should definitely go and check it out. But as I think the cost of demands on healthcare continues to be something that society struggles with, developing and repurposing buildings that really don't have a retail benefit anymore, I think is a great opportunity for us and Steel Equities as a developer who has a really nice niche and looking to see how to repurpose and reuse these retail industrial buildings. They did a great job with that. I know Stony Brook University Medicine is really happy with the project. So at this panel, we're going to talk about, you know, how we went from taking a part of the Smith Haven Mall and transitioning it into this advanced healthcare facility.
That's amazing. And listen, that Smith Haven Mall, you know, I remember when it was what it was 20-some-odd years ago. And the path that it has taken for some major transformation, it's amazing. It really has. So we look forward to that coming up on the 23rd, folks, the 23rd of May there. It's going to be a great discussion. Also, I was reading, sir, that students were hosted, involved with Pathway in Technologies, also known as PTEC,